Church, thank you very much for being here today. As we get started with our lesson at this time, I do want to just take a moment and say thank you. Thank you to those who helped with our Vacation Bible School this past week. I really appreciate so much that activity that we do, that ministry that we have. We've said it time and time again, it really helps our congregation work together. And it was a great success, and I'm so thankful for that. I appreciate Taylor, Katie, and all their leadership in it, and all those who worked out, worked hard and worked with that great ministry to make it a great success. The book of Ephesians is where we are. I've been teaching out of this book for the last few weeks now, and today we're going to be in chapter 3. But as we get into that, I want you to know that sometimes I feel extremely inadequate. I guess maybe there are a lot of reasons why. I feel inadequate as a minister. I feel inadequate as a father. I feel inadequate as a husband. There are a lot of things that in my life I feel inadequate about. In large part probably because of my, the way I view myself and maybe don't have at times the confidence I should have, but even on a bigger scale, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all spiritually sometimes feel inadequate. If you do, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. The Apostle Paul, who I believe saved Jesus Christ, is the greatest soul winner to walk the earth. I mean, Paul, from the time he was baptized, he was going to synagogues not to drag people away, but to preach Jesus as the Christ. He was going to different countries, different areas, different landmarks, so that he could teach and establish churches and teach the name of Jesus Christ. He was baptizing people and training people and writing letters, but there were many times he felt inadequate. And he's going to talk about that some here in our study today. Why? Why do we feel inadequate? Well, I mean, there are probably a lot of reasons. We could talk about Satan. We could talk about the war that's going on spiritually with us. But I want you to think about a word today, and I've practiced real hard on this word. That Greek word there is an ekmeastos. Say that 10 times fast. An ekmeastos. And that's an important word for our lesson today. I'm not going to ask you to memorize that word. I'm not going to ask you to have to say it in a sentence and use it in a sentence or anything like that, or spell it. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read together verses 8 through 12. Remember, an ekmeastos as we go through this. To me, listen, Paul, talking about inadequacy now, who am less than the least of all the saints. Have you ever felt that way? I felt that way. I felt that way as a man of God, a minister. When I was an elder, I felt that way in a lot of ways. The Apostle Paul has felt that way, and he writes about it. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Thanks be to God for that, right? That I should preach among the Gentiles. Here it is. The English word there is unsearchable. But that is an ekmeastos. Okay? That's what that Greek word is. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Don't you love the way he closed that out there? Look at that whole section, that whole, and I know there's a little bit more to it, but look at those verses 8 through 12. He writes in verse 8, I am least of all the saints. Why am I least of all the saints? I'm thankful for the grace of God that I'm able to write to you, that I'm able to preach to you among, he says, the Gentiles, and we're Gentiles as well, right? I'm honored to do it, but I'm least of all. He said, because of the unsearchable riches of Christ. En ek ek ni asos. Okay? That is what Paul's talking about, the word unsearchable there. But then he closes out that section and he says, because of these unsearchable riches of Christ, listen to this, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Today, you may have walked in here feeling inadequate. I may have walked in here feeling inadequate. In reality, we are because of the unsearchable riches of Christ. But because of the unsearchable riches of Christ, we can walk out of here not feeling inadequate anymore. We can walk out of here confidently. We can walk out of here boldly because we have access through faith the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here's what that word, unsearchable, or the Greek word, en ek ek ni asos, means. Unable to find out. This is the actual definition of the Greek word that we translate unsearchable. It says, you are unable to find out how great the riches of Christ are. You can search from as far as the east is from the west, and you will never find out how great the riches of Christ are. But it also means it cannot be searched out. So you can search and you can look and you can try, you can't find it. But then the final definition is it cannot even be comprehended. That is the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it's just a little phrase in the middle of a phenomenal chapter in the book of Ephesians. But when I was reading and I was studying, and what am I going to preach? What am I going to talk about? That phrase kept leaping out at me. And so I wanted to dig into it, and I wanted to find out, and I walked away from there blown away. Blown away once I dug, and I realized how important that phrase is. You know, Paul writes in other places to the church at Corinth that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor does it enter into the thoughts of man how great and how wonderful that God, the things that God has prepared for us. That's unsearchable. We can't find it, we can't search for it and find it, and we can't comprehend it. But you know what? It's available to us. You know this word, that Greek word? That Greek word is used one other time in the New Testament. And it's found in Romans 11, verse 33. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. People think they know God. Listen, I believe I know God better than I did 20 years ago. I believe, hopefully, in 20 years, I'll know God better than I knew Him at this age. But I will never on this earth know everything there is about God. So that's why we can't get complacent in our walks. That's why we can't put the book down. That's why we have to dig. That's why we have to study. Because it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we've got to know that is not just our theme, but it's got to be what we adopt. Because in this book are the keys to the unsearchable riches. And that unsearchable riches of Christ, those unsearchable riches of Christ, once we adopt those and accept those into our life, then we can walk around confidently. We can walk around boldly. Because here's the good news. Number one, the unsearchable riches are offered to sinners. Think about that. In Luke 1, verse 53, it's the Song of Mary, by the way. It is written, He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. Now, let's suppose the richest person in the world was here, and that may be Elon Musk at this point. I don't really know, but it doesn't really matter for my story. But let's suppose the richest person in the world was here, and I walked up to him and gave him $5. He would waste more time by reaching out and taking that $5 from me than if I would have just given it, if he wouldn't have accepted it all. That's how rich they are. The rich people don't need our money. They don't need it. The rich people spiritually that they thought were rich didn't need Jesus Christ. So who did he go to? He went to the hungry. He went to the poor. He went to those who needed him and his unsearchable riches. Now remember, this is who Paul described to the church at Philippi when he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. This was God who we cannot search out, who we cannot find, who we cannot comprehend how great those riches are. And he came to feed us. He didn't come to feed the rich. He didn't come to feed those who rejected him. He came to the sinners. Sinners, us, we are the hungry in that song of Mary. Who's Paul preaching to? He's teaching, he's writing here to the church at Ephesus. Who were they? Gentiles. The Gentiles were not godly people. In fact, the Jews referred to Gentiles as filthy dogs. Now, I don't know about you, but I just don't go love on filthy dogs. Now, I might, you know, our dogs might be a little grimy every now and again. But you just walk up on a dog, and I'm not trying to be cruel-hearted or whatever, and they've just been wallowing in mud, and they've got ticks and fleas, and I know they need to be taken care of and all that. But I'm just not going to go, hey, just give me a big old hug. Well, that's the way the Jews treated the Gentiles. They were filthy dogs. They didn't want anything to do with them. In fact, the Gentiles were so bad, they made up their own morality. They just made up their own morality. That's why God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Now remember, just because you weren't Jew, you still had a sense of morality to follow because God wrote it on the heart. For instance, you go way back to Adam and to Eve and to Cain and Abel. And Cain, when he murdered Abel, there was no written law against murder, but he knew it was wrong. So there's been a written law of morality on our hearts. So the Gentiles were to stand by that walk of morality, and Nineveh wasn't doing it. And Jonah's message to Nineveh was, repent or else. You see, that sense of morality that the Gentiles came up with, it wasn't pleasing to God. It was just whatever they wanted to do. The Ephesians, you know who they worshiped? They worshiped Diana. Diana, there were all kinds of sexual practices and different things that were against God that she stood for. Many of the church at Ephesus, maybe not the church, but in the city of Ephesus, probably some in the church as well, made a living by selling idols. Idols that looked like Diana. That was how they sold things. We'd probably look at them as some of the worst people, maybe as filthy dogs. But you know what? That's who Paul taught about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You may walk in here feeling inadequate. In reality, we are. We're not worthy. But he still came and offered himself for us. For every one of us, no matter what sins you've committed in your life, no matter what sins I've committed in my life, and listen, we as humans classify sin. God doesn't, but we do. And some, you may have committed some of those big sins. Maybe you're still struggling with those sins, but you need to hear this today. God wants you to accept Jesus Christ where there are unsearchable riches available. It's not just for the one who's already saved. The unsearchable riches of Christ are offered to sinners. But number two, the unsearchable riches of Christ must point us to Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we have Jesus Christ, then guess what that verse says? We have access to every spiritual blessing. Now, I think one version puts unsearchable as unfathomable. Okay, but if you think about, we have access to all the spiritual blessings, the same blessings Christ has. We have access to those. That is unfathomable to me. I can't wrap my mind around it because I feel oftentimes inadequate. Not good enough. Not worthy enough. And I'm guessing that I'm not the only one. But I want you to know today that just like Paul wrote, he said, I'm the least of all the saints, but I'm walking out of here confidently with boldness because I have faith in Jesus Christ and I have access to His unsearchable riches and we have access to all the spiritual blessings. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, Paul writes, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I love that verse because it tells us that all of God's promises are yes. They're yes in Christ. Think about that. Whatever He's promised us, yes, it's going to happen. Children try to get their parents to do things all the time, right? And what happens? Sometimes we as parents, we change our minds. Sometimes we get a little tired. Sometimes we've been working hard. Sometimes it's been a long day. And we're like, hey, can we do that tomorrow? And they're just whole, you know, the Bible says their countenance fell. Their whole countenance falls. Because they didn't get the yes. They got a... Or if you ask them and they say, we'll see. By the way, that usually means no, doesn't it? But that's not what God said. Hey, God the Father, are you going to come back and get us one day? We'll see. Maybe one day. No, He said yes. Jesus Christ said in John 14, where I go... If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to my own. That where I am, you may also be. That's a promise. He said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going there, and once it's done being prepared, and God says, okay, Jesus, go get your bride, I'm coming back and taking you home. That is a yes. God, will you forgive me of all my sins? Maybe tomorrow. No, that's not what He said. He said yes. And you know what else He said? Not only did He forgive him, by the way, only God has the ability to forgive. I cannot forgive sins. You cannot forgive sins. That is releasing you from your sin. Only God can do that. And He does it through the blood of Jesus Christ. So hear me out there. Not only does He release you from your sins once you are repentant of those sins after being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, He remembers them no more. Think about that. That's encouragement to me. Because I sin. And I do some dumb things. And some things I don't want to do. But at the end, once I repent, He remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, by the way, you're never going to catch it. The east and west are going in opposite directions. God's not going to remember your sins. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God's divine power through Jesus Christ has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's about the unsearchable riches of Christ. But they've got to point us back to Christ. You need to note this now. I know you know this, but let's just be as simple and as pointed as we can. When we share the gospel with others, it's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about religious rituals. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. And by the way, if you're sharing the gospel and the first thing you get to is you got to worship this amount, you got to pray this amount, you got to do this, you got to do that, then you got to take a different approach. Because that's not the gospel. The gospel is knowing Jesus Christ. Paul did not proclaim to them the rules of Christianity. Now, please hear me out. There are things we have to follow. We do have to do what God says. We do have to worship. We do have to pray. We do. By the way, it shouldn't have to. It's a get to. It's an honor. Right? Those are things we do. But when you share the gospel, okay, when Philip shared the gospel with the eunuch, did he preach about a bunch of different rules? No. He started at Isaiah chapter 53, and he taught that man Jesus. Now, along the way, he taught him how you get into Jesus. He taught him about baptism. He taught him those things. But he taught him Jesus. The unsearchable riches of Christ. But they better point us to Christ. You want to know what the riches are? I'm going to give you 10 of them. 10 things, real quick. Some of y'all's countenance fell when I said 10. So you need to repent right now. Number one. I don't have them on there. I'm sorry, I should have. You want to know about these riches? Number one, we need redemption and forgiveness. Jesus Christ is our redemption and the substitute for our sin. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. Number two, we need love. Jesus Christ predestined us in love to adoption as His children, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Number three, we needed holiness. He chose us to be holy and blameless in Him. Although we formerly lived according to the lust of the flesh, Ephesians 2, verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 4 teaches us He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. We needed a sense of purpose. He made known to us the mystery of His will and created us in Christ for good works. Ephesians 1 verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him. And Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Number 5. We needed an internal inheritance. He predestined us to obtain that inheritance through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. By the way, don't let the word predestined fool you. That just means He set us up to go to heaven. When He created us, we were created to go to heaven. Ephesians 1 verse 14 adds that the Holy Spirit is the guidance of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Number 6. We needed hope. God has made us fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, Ephesians 3, verse 5. We needed power. The surpassing greatness of His power brought us from death to life, Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20, Ephesians 3, verse 7. We needed life. He raised us from death to life, Ephesians 2, verses 1 and verse 5. We needed peace with God and with one another. He Himself is our peace. Ephesians 2:14 and verse 16. And finally, we needed access to God for all our needs. He is our access through the Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 2, verse 18, and Ephesians 3, verse 12. They're unsearchable riches. We can't fathom them. We can't find them. We can search all our life. And that's how vast they are. That's how wonderful they are. But once we obtain the unsearchable riches of Christ, all those things we needed right there, He gave us. Once we obtain those, we got to point others and ourselves to Jesus Christ. And then it leads us to one final point. Christ, the same one that we get to experience His unsearchable riches, He invites us to come and partake freely of all that He is. The gospel, in a phrase, the good news. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the good news for us today, even if we feel inadequate, is that in Christ, we have access to His unsearchable riches. Seth read to us from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We call that the Lord's invitation. I'm just going to read verse 28 again. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm going to go back to what he said. Paul said when he said that all of God's promises are yes in Christ. He said, "You come to me, and I will give you rest." He will bear your burden. His yoke is easy, burden is light. Right? We must come. The same Jesus who has unsearchable riches has invited you to come today. That same Jesus with those unsearchable riches has created everything we know. That same Jesus with those unsearchable riches was literally God in the flesh. That same Jesus with those unsearchable riches, He lived a life and resisted every single temptation Satan threw His way. That same Jesus with those unsearchable riches, right now today, is sitting victorious at the right hand of God. And that same Jesus with those unsearchable riches, He wants you to come home. And He wants you to do it right now as together we stand and sing.